We have a great show for you tonight on the Monday, June 10th, Climate Justice Forum radio program, hosted, of course, by Wild Idaho Rising Tide. We're going to gratefully welcome Deborah Whiteplume. She's a courageous Lakota activist and director of Bring Back the Way. Deborah blockaded tar sands megaloads on a South Dakota highway through Lakota land in March 2012. That was while some of the last megaloads were traversing Moscow here. And she has been organizing opposition to the Keystone XL pipeline with training camps like the Moccasins on the Ground Tour of Resistance coming up this weekend. We'll tell you a little bit more about here in a moment. So, broadcast on this progressive volunteer community station, KRFP Moscow, every Monday between 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. Pacific Time, either at 92.5 FM or online. We're also going to cover continent-wide dirty energy development and climate activism news, thanks to the generous anonymous listener who adopted myself, your program host, Helen Yost, as his KRFP DJ. We want to tell you a little bit more about Moccasins on the Ground, which is, of course, the event that Deborah Whiteplume and her good comrades of the Lakota people are organizing for this upcoming weekend. Moccasins on the Ground is a frontline activist training to protect sacred water and Mother Earth. It asks, what is nonviolent direct action? How does it work? What role can I fill? How do we build solidarity? What do you mean? Tactics of a blockade. Learn the roles and responsibilities. What are the tar sands? What is the Keystone XL oil pipeline? Although I would hardly call tar sands oil. What threatens my drinking water? What are white buffalo calf woman's teachings to the Lakota Oyate about sacred water? And strategic media, a link in the backbone of your struggle and how to use it. Mainstream media class apparently going on there at this upcoming Moccasins on the Ground training, which is going to be held June 14th, starting at 5 p.m. through June 15th and 16th. It's going to be held at the Bridger Community Eagle Butte Homelands, and this is all in South Dakota. They say bring your sleeping bag and towels. Showers are available, overnight sleeping in the gym, three meals a day, and snacks. Security provided by Oahu. I'm not sure how to say that exactly, but there's lots of sponsors for this great workshop coming up that I'm sure Deborah will tell us some more about. There's the Oahu, Great Plains Tar Sands Resistance Coalition, Protecting the Sacred, Lakota Media Project, People's Media Project, Chicago, Illinois, Last Real Indians, Indigenous Environmental Network, Honor the Earth, Deep Green Resistance, National Lawyers Guild, Black Hills Sioux Nation Treaty Council, Oahu International Justice Project, Resmerized, Idle No More, and Those Who Wish to Remain Anonymous. They say, let's have fun at this training, and they give all kinds of contact info. If you want to check this out, it was posted, it's a big poster of Moccasins on the Ground. It was posted about a week ago on the Wild Idaho Rising Tide Facebook page. And then we also have a little write-up about this. It's actually an event if you want to join it through Facebook, the Moccasins on the Ground Tour of Resistance. Think your community can benefit from having trained people ready to protect your lands and water and communities and families when the corporations come to rip it up and take it and pollute it? Come to Moccasins on the Ground Tour of Resistance. So check all that out on Facebook. So we have with us on the line Deborah Whiteplume, a well-renowned Lakota activist, joining us from New York City, where she's been part of several great panel discussions. So how are you doing? Tell us what's been going on in New York, Deborah.
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'd like to greet everybody who's listening in a good way. I'm here in Washington Heights, in New York. I came out here to do some organizing work for our sacred water protection and to go to the Left Forum, which was over this past weekend. I was on a panel with Teokas and Ghost Horse and Janine Yazzie, and we mainly talked about the the way people need to adjust their paradigms to sustain the sacred, especially in the face of corporations gaining access to the lands where Red Nation's people live and coming in order to do their extractive industries, and how our work and our identity calls upon us to protect Mother Earth and not to look at Mother Earth as a warehouse of uranium or gas or oil or whatever it might be that the corporation is interested in. So that was the main message of our panel at the forum.
And I bet New York is a very different world than South Dakota and Idaho. And I'm also betting that a lot of folks here in the Moscow, Idaho area and people listening all across the country online would be curious about, some of the first out front examples of Lakota activism against the tar sands, and that was the blockades of tar sands equipment that happened last March in 2012. Could you tell us a little more about that experience?
Sure. We live along the banks of Wounded Knee Creek, which is about 60 miles from the location where we actually did the blockade. So we got a phone call and somebody said there's these huge trucks forcing cars off the road and it says Canada on the side and we can't move our cars, we're in the ditch and we don't know what to do, can you come? So my husband left and then I and a neighbor left, and when we got out there we just got in front of the trucks and they were very huge, very huge trucks. One vehicle took up both of the two lanes of our little reservation road. And sure enough, they were headed from Texas up to the Alberta area, and they were carrying what's called treater vessels, which are used at the mine site to separate the oil from the dirt and, you know, all of that, the debris. So we just had our blockade. It lasted for about 8 hours, and it was kind of scary. You know, those trucks they're very huge, and there was a whole caravan of trucks and pickups and cars and whatnot, you know, all together in this caravan coming through, and they were on their way to Canada, and we just told them, you know, you're not coming through our land. You know, we are against the tar sands oil mine, we're against the Keystone XL pipeline, and you're not going to just come through our nation like it's business as usual, and we wouldn't let them pass. We wanted them to turn around and go back the way they came, and, you know, eventually the South Dakota police were called and the FBI was called. They were threatening to charge us with kidnapping. And we told them, well, we're not holding them here against their will. It's just the opposite. We want them to leave. But at the end of the day, five of us were arrested and put in jail. And later on, we were bonded out. But the Oglala Lakota people and our government, both the traditional government and the colonial government, have both taken action to oppose the tar sands and oppose the Keystone XL pipeline, and their legislation calls on every Oglala person to defend the water, so that's what we did.
All right. We were so amazed to see that action, as, you know, we were doing sort of similar things, not as successfully, although I guess none of us ultimately stopped those trucks from going up to the Alberta tar sands, and a lot of us in both places were arrested for trying to stop things. But there's been a lot of activism in your area by all kinds of folks ever since in the last year. And of course, back in March, there was the first Moccasins on the Ground direct action training camp. And that looked like, from the pictures at least, like it was a big success. Lots of people came from all over the Midwest and beyond. So Could you tell us a little bit about what's been going on in the region concerning activism around the Keystone XL, especially with your people, and about some of the workshops that have been happening, too?
Sure. Well, we have this Moccasins on the Ground Tour of Resistance, and it's a training camp to bring people together from all walks of life, not just the Lakota Nation or not just Red Nations, but people from any community who wants to protect their sacred water in the event that President Obama approves the application of TransCanada for the pipeline. So we teach the philosophy of nonviolent direct action and how it works, what the roles and responsibilities are, and we do some teachings on building solidarity and actual hands-on work of the tactics of a blockade. And, you know, it's a training camp. It's not a sit in the bleachers or sit at the table and watch somebody lecture. It's get your body out there and learn how to use your body to, you know, form a blockade and to stop an earth mover or a big truck or, you know, the surveyors, whatever, you know, might be coming. So we teach about that, the actual hands-on part, the responsibilities, and the different roles of nonviolent direct action, and how these roles all play together. And we also do teachings on what are the tar sands and what is the pipeline and what all threatens my drinking water. You know, whether it's uranium mining, we're also fighting uranium mining in our area on the beautiful homelands of Pine Ridge. And we do a lot of Lakota teachings about the Lakota worldview on sacred water. Some of the workshops are on being a street medic. It's just common sense when you have a whole bunch of people together to have people there that are trained in being a medic, you know. And we have a workshop on strategic media being, you know, a link in the backbone of the struggle. And a little bit of teaching on mainstream media. And you know, we have a lot of allies that come in and help us with the training, and it's a lot of fun. It's real intense. It's real intense, and it's for, you know, healthy, able-bodied people who can get out there and do that, who are willing to take that risk and willing to, you know, exhibit the courage and the respect for Mother Earth to do this kind of training. And it runs like Friday evening and 10 in the morning to 10 at night on Saturday, starts early Sunday, and then it winds down Sunday afternoon. And it also includes having a water ceremony for our people, because this is all a spiritually based struggle. It's a spiritually based struggle to protect our sacred water and our air and our lands and our people and our coming generations. So, of course, it would include water ceremony, and we share that with everybody who comes.
All right. So, at the last Moccasins on the Ground, what groups were actually leading some of these trainings? We've heard that it might be some of the folks that were doing blockades of their own in Texas and Oklahoma, but we're just curious, you know, who all was involved in last time, and what folks might hope to learn at, you know, I guess you went through a lot of that already, but, you know, folks that maybe didn't come last time, how we could convince them to come to this next Moccasins on the Ground training.
Well, you know, it's not really a matter of convincing people to come to the training. For us, it's a spiritual calling, and we're being guided in this work. It's not a matter of persuading people or convincing people to come. The people that we work with are drawn to protect Mother Earth. They're drawn to protect the sacred water, and we take that as spiritual guidance. So the different trainers that come in from different organizations bring their skills with them, you know, and we have people who are coming that have done, you know, real serious work in communities all over the place. You know, we have people coming who've done training in the Chiapas area and who has done training all over the United States and the different frontline activist work that's been going on. And I don't really like to name names about trainers. We have Christian Peacemaker Team coming. We have Honor the Earth. We have the People's Media Project out of Chicago. We have our Black Hills Sioux Nation Treaty Council coming. We have the National Lawyers Guild coming. We have people coming from Idle No More up in Canada. We have Deep Green Resistance. You know, I don't mind naming the organizations that are being represented as trainers there. And we have, of course, our Nakota Media Project people and our trainers from Oweaku. We've been involved in a lot of this work. We went down to Oklahoma to serve as trainers when the Great Plains Tar Sands Resisters had a blockade training. We traveled down there. We took about 30 people, a big delegation, and we helped them to train people in Oklahoma. And, you know, we've done a lot of work with a lot of these organizations for many, many years. So it's a real strong alliance. And we do have a lot of people coming from the different parts of Canada who want this training so they can take it home to their communities and share it. And we have people coming from the different states around the United States who their communities are being faced by fracking or uranium mining. You know, the different extractive industries are starting to come into their communities, so they want to learn how to protect their communities. And so we have people coming from all over the United States and Canada, and it's going to be a big training. And we want to do a big training there because Bridger Community is a very small community on the west end of the Cheyenne River Eagle Butte homelands of the Sioux Nation. And they'll be the first Lakota community faced with the Keystone XL pipeline. You know, the stone's still away from where it is because TransCanada is skirting our actual reservation boundaries, but what they don't understand is that's our treaty territory. So they're still in our territory, so we will defend our territory.
All right, sounds great with so many folks coming. So we've also heard recently through various channels that there have been several resolutions put together by various tribes coming together from both the Midwest of the United States and also Canada, and making resolutions against tar sands. Could you tell us a little more about those gatherings and what came out of that? I guess some of them were the first times that several nations of people had come together in a long, long time.
Yes, there have been several gatherings, and we had a big gathering on the Rosebud Reservation for the Sechungu Nation, which is one of our sister bands a couple hours away from us, and many of the tribes came together there along with our white allies, the ranchers and farmers who are also being faced by this pipeline. And we came together and we passed what is called the Mother Earth Accord, which calls upon all of us to be a good relative to Mother Earth and to take care of her. And we had a gathering on the eastern side of the state on the Ihonktewa homelands. A lot of tribes came together there, and First Nations also came together there, and a treaty was passed there between the Red Nations to protect the sacred, to protect our sacred Mother Earth. So the tribes have been gathering, you know, stateside down here for probably about 3 years now. And I think our tribes really, really got more intensely involved after several of us were arrested in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago in front of the White House to bring attention to it on a national level that, you know, this is something facing all Americans, not just the people along the route of the pipeline. So we have to do something major to get it in front of people. And that's what direct action does, is it forces the people who are just trying to live their daily life to look at an issue that does affect them, whether they know it or not, it affects them. So that's how, you know, we became more intensely involved after the first arrests were held in Washington, D.C., and that got the attention of a lot of people across the country, and they started asking, why is 1,000 people getting arrested at the White House, you know? So it brought it to the table, and it put it right in front of them, and they had to start looking at it. And my experience in working to protect water against uranium mining for the past, you know, several years, and this pipeline in tar sands, is once people understand the facts, they're either for it or against it. There's no middle ground. So that's what we try to do a lot, is, you know, teach people, teach the facts. We do sacred water protection teach-ins. We've gone all over Lakota territory teaching about what this, you know, impacts will be to our groundwater and our surface water and to the land and the air and the people. And once people understand the facts, then, you know, 90% of everybody I've ever met with at these teachings, they become protectors of the water.
And that, of course, is the one part of nature that flows through everything and that is going to be most affected by possible tar sands leaks, as we've seen, especially with that really bad spill of the Pegasus pipeline in Arkansas recently. So, I guess I don't know what else to ask at this point, except, you know, what do you see the next year or two being like with the Keystone XL pipeline either being permitted or not? And how do you think the people in its path and across the country will react if it is decided here in the next year or so that it would be built or not? And of course, we've heard that it wouldn't be built until next summer. And so there's still time for us to gather resistance from more and more people all across the country. But how do you think this whole thing is going to go with the Keystone XL pipeline over the next year or two?
Well, I think President Obama is going to study it very carefully. That's why he rejected it the first time. So we already stopped it. We stopped the Trans-Canada Keystone XL pipeline. It stopped. And they're going through their second application process right now. And I think that the more people learn about it, the more they're resisting it. And I don't think it's even a question of having the courage to put your body out there. I think it's the realization that common sense tells you you must protect your water if you want to have a life, if you want your children to have a life. So our plan at Oweaku and with our allies is to keep doing the teach-ins, continue the moccasins on the ground tour of resistance, and taking this training camp into all the communities that invite us. And we've been to many communities, and we have invitations into, you know, many more communities. So keep doing the training until President decides. We will keep doing the training. We will keep teaching communities how to defend their water, how to take this nonviolent direct action, and how to work together, how to build a solidarity. And you know, there's groups all up and down the pipeline route that are doing similar activity as we are. So it's not just the Lakota Nation resisting. It's not just the Red Nations resisting. It's not just the farmers and ranchers in Nebraska resisting. It's people from all over the United States and Canada. There's peace walks that are being planned. There are horseback rides that are being planned. There's construction of windmills and solar generating power plants that are going to be built right on the pipeline route. You know, so President Obama's going to have to come in and destroy these if he does agree to, you know, issuing the permit to TransCanada. So the work is not casual, and it's not, you know, dying out. It's escalating. as time goes on, communities and families and tribes and, you know, counties are continuing their training, and more people are getting involved, more and more people are becoming, more deeply involved in the solidarity to resist this pipeline and to protect the sacred water.
Well, thank you very much for those insights, Deborah. And we're hoping that you can join us another time on this program and just follow up on everything that has developed since the last time we spoke with you. And we're hoping to get some folks from the region out to that training camp this weekend, although we haven't set any definite plans at this point. But we're wishing everyone that goes to that a lot of luck, and we're just very much inspired by the leadership that you have provided over the last several years on this particular issue. And just we hope nothing but the best for everyone there, and can't wait to hear some more news from you. So thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much too, and you know, it's a pleasure coming on the air, and I'm thankful for all the people who are listening, and we need to stay focused on the tar sands oil mine. You know, there's a lot of rain going on up there in Canada and a lot of flooding by Fort McMurray, which is ground zero for the tar sands oil mine, and we're all doomed if it floods and those toxic ponds spread into the Athabascan River, so we have to all send good energy there to protect the water.
All right. Well, thank you again, and our best hopes and prayers will be with everyone this weekend if we don't make it there ourselves, and we hope to be talking with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I do hope to see you there this weekend. Thank you.